Fast Forward series, but I want to talk to you about walking through the open doors. That's my title this morning or this afternoon, walking through the open doors. Somebody say, walking through the open doors. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity I have to teach your word today, God. It is a great honor to stand in this pulpit and to minister your word. I pray, God, that your words will flow through me. I pray that every person here will not hear as much of what I say as they will hear what you say through I say. And Lord, we just thank you for your move in us in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed, said, amen. Oh, I just realized one more thing I wanted to make sure I mentioned. I don't know but you, I always love when we have dance ministry happening here in service, just like Quebecca was ministering today. She is actually pioneering a new course that is going to start, not this coming week, but the next week, on dance ministry. She's done an outstanding job setting it up. It involves practical teaching, also practical application, and just moving in that circle. And so if you're interested, you can get more information online. I know there's a number of people that have applied already, but we just wanted to make an emphasis that you can grow. And even if you're like, I never want to be on stage dancing, whatever, you can still join the class because you can just dance you and Jesus, right? Like whatever way you want to make this thing work, you can make it work. So just want to encourage that. All right, walking through the open doors. Let's read Revelation 3, verse 8. It says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. Everyone say an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Let's lay a little bit of a foundation here. How many of you here were last week when Prophet Ewell and Jane Crawford were here? So if you're here, we had an absolutely powerful time. If you missed it, the MP3s are all free online or on our TCC podcast, and so you can catch up with them. But as I was seeking God, and I was asking God, say, okay, Lord, we're at the end of our 2020, fast forward. I know a bunch of you were rejoicing at some point yesterday as you broke your fast. I broke my fast at the mall at a Chipotle. I had a really big burrito. I had a large chips, double salsa, my son helped me eat them, and I had Coca-Cola. I mean, that was just that I broke my fast in style. And some of you are like, whoa, I was eating that all through the fast. Well, I don't know how much of a fast you were doing then. But anyways, I know there's a lot of rejoicing, a lot of fun. But seriously, I was asking God, and I was saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share as we go? Because again, when I come to preach, I don't just want to come up in my mind what I think I should say. I don't always hit it perfectly, but I'm trying to say, God, what do you want to say to us? And so the Lord really felt back. I said, how do we finish that? The Lord brought me back to last Friday night when Prophet Ewell Crawford was here. And I trust him. I've known him for over 15 years. And he's regularly brought the word of the Lord to myself, to my wife, to our church family when he's been here. And the word that God gave him, and he'd said, this is going to be a year of an open door. And the Lord brought me back to that, and I felt such a witness on that word. Not only on this word, but also on this decade that is going to be a year of open doors. It's going to be a decade of open doors. Let's go back a little bit. If you'll remember, we started this fast talking about holy ambition and how God was calling each of us to rise to a new place of holy ambition in our life for Him. What is holy ambition? Holy ambition is to carry a passion for the purposes of God in your generation. It's the desire to do something great for God. It is a passion to do what God created you to do. Again, a reminder, these notes that I'm preaching from, you can find at my blog at brendanwitten.com or the church app, so you can literally follow along if you want to. And so we talked about this holy ambition. We talked about how we don't want to have worldly ambition. Some of us understand worldly ambition, where it's all about me. But many of us reject worldly ambition, and we move into a passivity where we're just not trying to accomplish anything. But God doesn't want us there either. He wants us to be in a place of holy ambition. We have a fire to do something great for God. And so we've been talking about the importance of this holy ambition. We bridged that then and talked about the importance, and through this fast, I know many of you are following along. And if I can say again, thank you so much for being part of us seeking God together. I know it might sound funny to some of you, but I was just so thankful for every person that was fasting, praying, watching videos. There is something that happens when we do these things together. I was talking with one person. We were talking about breaking our fast, and I was telling her I went to Chipotle, and she said she went to get ribs. And you know, but we were asking about it. She's like, yeah, she said, usually I'm terrible at fasting, but I did really well on this one. And part of it, I said, well, part of it is because we did it together. When we try and do these things by ourselves, it's so easy to fall away from it. But when we're doing it together, there's like this corporate anointing, this corporate grace that comes on us to do it. And so we were talking about destiny, purpose, and calling. And if I can just encourage you, that many of you, I'm sure, have heard some amazing things from God. But maybe some of you are saying, I don't know if I've heard a whole lot yet. Here's what I've learned about fasting and prayer times. They're actually more about sowing seeds than they are about reaping a harvest. Often we are only looking for God movements during our time of prayer and fasting, but you need to understand that with the principle of seed, time, and harvest, some of the most powerful God movements out of a time of consecration are not during it, but they're after it. Why? Because you've sown seeds and the harvest is going to start to show up. And so I want to encourage you, expect the harvest in your life. Expect the harvest of revelation. Expect the harvest of a greater sense of the presence of God. Expect the harvest of greater holiness in your life and greater hunger. Why? Because we set apart this time to seek God. And so I really want to encourage you that. You know, it's interesting, as many of you are aware, God's blessed Pastor Sharon and myself, particularly Pastor Sharon, with they have a great relationship with Cindy Jacobs. And Mama Cindy oversees one of the organizations she oversees. She's a great prophet, literally to nations. But the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders, they gather prophetic voices from literally around the world, and they say, what's the word of the Lord for the year? So they put out the word of the Lord. And I just want to share it with you, because sometimes we think that when we do these things, it's just something we're coming up with in our church. But I want you to understand, we're tapping into what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing on a much larger scale. Listen to the word and see if any of it sounds familiar. 2020 is significant in that it literally is a new era. One of the words God has given is that we're going to grow into our own skin. What do I mean by that? We're going to grow into the purpose of God that He has for us. It's time to intentionally say, what is my purpose? Where am I going in life? And how do I achieve that? And how do I come into convergence, a place where our full gifts and our full abilities are being used? It's a very exciting season. Does that sound familiar at all, guys? Purpose, destiny. Of course, it will be a challenging season as well. Anytime you're going to a new level, we used to say new levels, new devils, there will be some resistance. Think about going into the promised land, how there was resistance and there were giants that met them when they went into the promised land. If you've heard me speak very much, you'll know what I say. If you're going into your promised land, your purpose, your destiny, what God has for you, and you're not having any pushback, there are no giants in the land, then you're not going in the right direction. There will be Jerichos to take, so there will be battles, but it's going to be exciting. When you're going the way the Lord has for you, there's a surety inside of you most of the time that says, wow, this is what I'm made for. I'm created to do this, and I believe that from you. All of you are listening to this, and we want to give you hope for your future. Maybe you've gone through some terrible times of loss, terrible times when you feel like you've had setbacks, but I want to say to you, believe God. Believe God that He does have something wonderful for you, no matter how many things have happened to you, how much loss. I think many of us in the past few years have lost family members. There are things that have happened to us that we didn't want to happen. Sometimes it can make us feel out of control, but this is a year where we are literally starting not only a new decade, but a new era. Amen? I want to encourage you guys in that. This is something that God's doing in the body of Christ, and we're happy to be part of it. Amen? It's not just a TCC thing, but it's a kingdom thing. Amen? And so I want to talk to you today, and I want to continue about these open doors. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9 says, for a wide door for effective work is open to me, and there are many adversaries. And so I want to encourage you this afternoon, as we're coming out of this time of prayer and fasting, as we're coming into what God has for us in this year and in this decade, I want to encourage you in this word that God is going to open doors. And I want you to expect in 2020, open doors. I want you to expect in this coming decade, open doors. I want you to expect open doors in your relationship with God. I want you to expect open doors in the relationships in your life. I want you to expect open doors in education or open doors in your workplace, open doors in your finance. I want us corporately as a church family to expect open doors in where God is taking us. Open doors for greater ministry. Open doors for greater impact. Open doors to touch more people with the love of Jesus Christ. Open doors to be a voice in our generation and to be a voice in our nation. God is going to open the doors. Somebody say open doors. God is going to open the doors, but here's the point I want us to catch, guys, is God is going to open the doors, but we still have to walk through them. Right? Just because someone opens a door, you can still just stand there and go, okay, see, that's what holy ambition about. Holy ambition is not trying to force something in our own strength, but it's saying, God, when you open a door, I'm going to walk through it. God, when you open a door, no matter how scary it might seem, because usually open doors are a little scary because you don't know what's on the other side, no matter what may happen with these open doors, I am going to walk through it in the name of Jesus. That is what the holy ambition that God is calling us to is all about, that you and I will make a commitment in our heart that we are going to go through these open doors that God opens. Someone say, go through the open door. I love what Prophet Ewell said last week. It was such a powerful revelation. I really want us to hold on to it. Often small doors lead to big spaces. Often ugly doors can lead to beautiful places. Don't judge the place that God's taking you to by the door that he's opening. So often we just make the judgment based on the door, but often it's that little door that leads you into a whole new place that God has for you. But we've got to see the doors and we got to be ready to walk through the doors. And my encouragement for you, we're coming at this time of prayer and fasting, by responding to the Lord, he opened a door and we walked through it. Don't stop now, right? Don't go back to life as usual. It's time to go higher. It's time to keep going deeper. Are we going to build on what God has done in our lives over the last 20 days? Or are we going to say, oh, that's nice. I'm going back to a passive life with no holy ambition in my heart. In the name of Jesus, you're not going back. But in the name of Jesus, you are going forward. It is time for every one of us to go forward. You are going to go forward. We are going to go forward. We are going forward through the open doors. Somebody say it again, the open doors. And so what I want to do today, there's many open doors we could talk about, but I want to talk to you about three open doors I believe God wants to open to us in the coming year. And my prayer is that we will have the holy ambition to go through those doors. See, again, one of the things that was so powerful about what we just did was because we did it together. And too often, particularly in North American church, we have a sit-and-watch mentality. Pastor Brendan, you go through the open doors and we'll cheer you on. Pastor Brendan, Pastor Sharon, you go through the open doors and you come back out from that open door and you give us what? No, we want to go through the open doors together. Right? This is not a spectator sport in Jesus' name. You're called to be on the field in the middle of God's doing. Amen? And so we want to go through these open doors. Let me share with you the first open door. The first open door is to go higher in our walk with him. Right? This should not be the high point of your year coming off the time of prayer and fasting. This should just be the starting point. Somebody say, go higher. Revelations 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speak to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. So we see here the scriptural picture of an open door. And it was an open door up in heaven. It's the Apostle John. This is his time of where he's getting the revelation that he writes in the book of Revelation. But the voice says, come up here. That's the first thing I want you to see from this verse. The words, come up here. There is an open door of going higher in God that the Holy Spirit is saying to each one of us, will you come up here? Right? Will you come up here? It speaks of going higher to him. There is a call to go higher in your walk with Jesus Christ in 2020. And I want to encourage every one of you. It is time to make a final decision that you reject every vestige of Christianity light in your life. It's time that you make a decision to reject every bit of lukewarmness, every bit of me-centered Christianity, every bit of soft, easy, run from, you know, things that are kind of Christianity and say, no, I am going to go higher in Jesus Christ. It's time for me to go higher in my word life. It's time for me to go higher in my prayer life. It's time for me to go higher in my obedience. It's time for me to go higher in my hearing the voice of God. It's time for me to go higher in my obedience to the things of God. God is calling us higher. He is opening a door, but who will say yes? See, the Apostle John could have said, no, I'm not going to come up here. I'm quite comfortable where I am. And you know what? The book would have ended right there. Right, or frankly, the book would never have been written because God would have found somebody else who would come up here. Right? So often we're waiting on God and God is waiting on us. Right? And he's saying, who's going to come higher? Who's going to come higher? Spiritual maturity is learning to feed yourself. Spiritual maturity is learning to take care of yourself. It's learning to say, okay, I'm going higher in God. I'm not going to wait for somebody else to take me higher or somebody else to kind of drag me along. I am going higher in him. Somebody say, go higher. As you can tell, I'm in a zone to preach today. The second thing I want you to see, number one, going higher. Number two, he says, and I will show you. Why is he calling us higher? Because there's an open door as he calls you higher in him for a greater degree of revelation of the Holy Spirit. God wants to pour out revelation. Spiritual revelation, practical revelation, every aspect of revelation the Lord wants to pour out. But that revelation will be poured out on those who say yes to going higher. That revelation, guys, is on the other side of that door. That revelation is on the other side of learning to set your alarm a little earlier in the morning and getting up and spend time with the Holy Spirit before you go through your day. That revelation is the other side of prioritizing your time in the Word of God instead of making it the last thing you get to if you have time. But it's saying, I'm going to come up here, not just one fun service, not just one weekend or one 20-day stretch, but every day I'm committed to hear the Holy Spirit and to keep moving higher. Somebody say, go higher. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 34 says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Now, I'm going to take a very large concept. I'm going to share it with you in about the next 2 or 3 minutes. One of the reasons we're being called higher is because God wants us to live and operate out of the authority that we've been called to of being seated in heavenly places with Christ. We are not just called to be here on earth trying somehow for God's ears. No, God said, I'm seated you with Christ in Christ in heavenly places. Now, it doesn't mean we're physically there right now. Obviously, you're physically here. But it's talking about a place of relationship and a place of authority. See, spiritual warfare happens in what the Bible calls the second heaven. That's where there is. A lot of times we're trying to battle on that level, but we're not called to battle on that level. We're already with Christ, who's won the victory. We're called to operate from that third level or that third heaven reality where we are above everything else and it becomes under his feet. It doesn't mean there's not battles, but we are operating from a place of victory and we're operating from a place of what Jesus has already done instead of trying to do it in our own strength. God wants to bring us higher to that place of reality. But guys, showing up at church 2 times a month, never reading your Bible, never praying, living a lukewarm lifestyle, style's not going to cut it, right? It's never going to cut it. God said, come higher. Don't just expect the pastor to go higher. Don't just expect those really spiritual leaders or people to go higher. You come higher. Why? Because there's things I want to show you, but you don't see what I want to show you until you start coming higher. And furthermore, we see Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, Romans 8, 34, it said, and what is he doing there? He's interceding. That's why a major key in this coming year, in this coming decade, is you growing in your prayer life. Intercession and prayer cannot be for the faithful few, the Holy Spirit grandmas, the super spiritual people. No, we need to be a praying church because it's a praying church that's going to walk in the purposes of God. It's a praying church that's going to be standing in the days and hours that we live in. Guys, the darkness is getting darker, but the light is getting brighter. But lukewarm, weak, half-hearted Christianity is not going to cut it in the days that we're coming into. It's going to be people who know how to pray, who know how to seek God, who know how to be seated with Christ in heavenly places and operate at that place. And one of the main ways we operate is through prayer and intercession. Somebody say, come higher. And so there's this door. There's this door. There's this door. But will we say, yes, God, I'll come higher? Or will we say, no, I'm quite comfortable where I am right now, and I'm not going to move? My prayer is that you'll say yes. Say yes to go through the door, and that we'll go through it together. Number 2, so that was the first open door. The second open door, and this is something that's just been stirring in my heart. It's a simple open door, but it's so important. It's the open door to reach more people with the love of Jesus. My wife didn't even know my note content, and she was talking what God is speaking to her about. Let's look at Colossians 4, verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. The part I want you to see here is that there is an open door for the word to be ministered. Not only is God opening doors for us to go higher in him, but God also wants to open doors for us to share the love of Jesus with those who are around us. God wants to open doors in this coming year, and I believe in this coming decade, there is going to be unprecedented doors that are going to swing wide open for anyone who'd be willing to go through them to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And guys, there is a stirring in my heart regarding our church family that we need need to walk through this door in a fresh and new way. I'm thankful for the evangelistic passion that is here, but I believe there is so much more that God has for us and that God is calling us to. I want to remind you, we preach this many times, but I believe there needs to be a new revelation of it, that we are called to be a rescue ship church, not a cruise ship church. In the name of Jesus, you are called to be a rescue ship Christian, not a cruise ship Christian. What do I mean by that? I am not trying to hate on cruises or preach against cruises. They are wonderful for vacations. They are wonderful times to get away. But when you go on a cruise, you pay them money so you can do whatever you want to do. You can eat whatever you want to eat, whenever you want to eat. If you've gone on a cruise, they have 24/7 restaurants. It is terrible for your waistline, but it is so good for your taste buds. You can sleep when you want to sleep. You can go to the pool. I mean, they're like mini cities. You want to go to the pool? Go to a pool. You want to go water sliding? Go water sliding. You want to go play basketball? Go play basketball. You want to sit there with your book getting a suntan? Sit there with your book getting a suntan. You want to go on shore? Go on shore. You want to But here's the deal. You do whatever you want. And they definitely don't ask you to do anything. Can you imagine I pay all this money to go on a cruise and they hand me a broom and say, hey, can you help clean up? I would be offended. I would be absolutely offended. How dare you? I just paid you how much money, and knowing if my wife went, we paid more than I originally wanted to pay because she wanted a better room, right? And so I'm like, I paid this much money to go on this cruise, and you're asking me to do something? And yet, how often have our churches become like that? See, because a rescue ship is a very different situation. A rescue ship, you're not on that ship for yourself. You're not on that ship to feel comfortable. You're not on that ship to get a suntan or eat as much food as possible. You're on that ship because there are people that are drowning. There are people that need to be rescued. And so what God is doing is God is shifting, and I believe there's a fresh level of a revelation, a shift that God wants to bring in our hearts. Because when we're a cruise ship church, when we're cruise ship Christians, it's all about me. Oh, I didn't like the music. Oh, I like this. Well, I'll give Pastor a 7.5 for his word today. It was good. He had some good scriptures. He was yelling and spitting a little too much. Okay, I like this. I don't like that. I don't feel like going to church today. Connection group, I don't feel like going to connection group. I got a busy enough life already. Why? Because it's all about me. That's cruise ship Christianity. But see, when you move to rescue ship Christianity, you go, wait a minute, this isn't all about me. Yes, it's about me because God loves me, but there's people that don't know Jesus yet. There's people that are dying and going to hell. We got to do something to reach them. And see, it's one thing for us guys to have a doctrine and a theology of this. It's another thing to live every day on mission. It's another thing to be a church that actually says, no, we're really here, not just so we can be comfortable, but we're here to see the purposes of God advance. We're here to see people come to Jesus Christ. And what I love about this is God wants to open doors. He wants to open doors. There's doors he's going to open to reach people, but will we have the eyes to see those doors and move through those doors? If we do not deal a death blow to cruise ship Christianity in our hearts, we won't. Because often it will be uncomfortable, inconvenient, intimidating, or who knows what else. There will always be a reason not to do it. But God's saying, who's going to push past the excuses and go through the open doors? Even if this year you said one person, God, give me one person that I can help bring to Jesus Christ. Even if it's just one, who's going to have that rescue ship Christianity and that rescue ship mentality? My prayer for us is I believe we've got a good concept of it. But guys, if I'm honest, I don't believe a lot of us are fully living it yet. Will we allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts so we can live it? What does rescue ship Christianity look like? Jesus described it very well in Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 38, or when Jesus was described. It says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, for they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. What do rescue ship Christians do? Number one, rescue ship Christians see the multitudes. That's the first thing we see Jesus. He saw them. What I mean by that, you know how you can see people but not really see people? God first has to begin to open our eyes. Because you can't go through an open door that you can't see. See, here's the thing. Some of us feel pressure just to reach everybody. You didn't call to reach everybody. You're called to do what the Father's doing. And your job is just to walk through open doors. It takes all the pressure off you because all you're doing is looking for the doors that the Holy Spirit is opening. But then you have the courage to walk through it. But first, you got to see the multitudes. See, it's much more comfortable not seeing the multitudes. You know why? Because then we can create our own little bubble of our own little comfortable Christian life where everything just fits well and works well together and we're just there. But you've got to break through that and say, God, give me eyes to see the multitudes. Give me eyes to see multitudes. It's not fun having a burden sometimes, but you need a burden from the Lord so you can pray and share and push through. So number one, he says, see the multitudes. Number two, Jesus had compassion. I believe that God wants to release a compassion revolution in our lives and in our church this year. What is compassion? Compassion is a deep love that moves us to action. Compassion is a deep love that pushes past the excuses, that pushes past the obstacles, that pushes past the objections, that pushes past the past failures. That is what compassion is. And we see that Jesus was moved by compassion. It's this love for people. Love is the most powerful force that you can possibly imagine when you're talking about the love of God. And so the key is letting God do a work of love in your heart, because when you love somebody, you're going to charge through that open door as soon as it opens up. Why? Because the love is there. So number one, we see the multitudes. Number two, we have compassion. Number three, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest. Number three, rescue ship Christians pray. What if each one of us would make a commitment that every day we'll pray this short but simple but dangerous prayer? God, open a door for me today. I'll step through it. God, help me to see an open door. I'm going about my day. I'm doing everything I'm doing, but I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm saying, where is an open door where you are working in someone's life? Because trust me, it's not your job to save people. It's not my job to save people. That's God's job. My job is just to simply obey the Holy Spirit, to walk in love, and then to be a vessel that the Lord can use through open doors. But see, what if we just prayed? How many Christians go an entire year without even praying once, God, give me an open door? Because here's what I believe. If we pray it, God will answer it. But then we got to be prepared for our answer, amen? Because some of us, like, we pray, the God opens the door, we're like, oh my gosh, I'm terrified. God, I didn't really mean it. I meant open a door for somebody else, not for me. Amen. All right, that's okay. Take the conviction. It's good. All right, so we're going to pray. And number four, rescue ship Christians are ready to work. Somebody say work. Right? Some of us love to pray. God, send the laborers. And God says, how about you? Oh, no, God, I'm busy praying. Right? Oh, no, God, I've got an appointment. I got a schedule. Who's ready to not just pray, but to be an answer to the prayer? Right? It's not just about praying. Sometimes we do everything right. We get the right heart, and we pray the right prayer, but then God opens the door. We go, oh, wait, that's too much work. You mean I got to pick somebody up and bring them to church? Right? I got to drop them home? Man, I got to pay for their Uber ride because I want them to be here? No, I don't want all that. What, you mean in our church someone might take my seat? Right? We might need to go to three services because we got too many people. I don't want all that. Right, I wanted to come in, but just it never affects my life. It never changes me. Will we be rescue ship Christians who already actually do something? Someone tell your neighbor, do something in Jesus' name. I remember D.L. Moody, who was a great evangelist in the 1800s, great pastor and leader, and there was a lady that came up to him and said, D.L. Moody, she was kind of critical, and she said, well, Dr. Moody or Pastor Moody, I just don't know how I feel about your evangelism methods. And he looked back and he said, yeah, I'm not so sure about them either. What are your methods? And she goes, well, I don't really do anything. He goes, okay, I like my methods better. Right? I'd much rather someone who's got this rough around the edges, but at least you're doing something. Instead of this inertia, let's get some holy ambition in our hearts. And then we'll learn as we'll go. Right? Some of us, oh, I want the Holy Spirit to lead me more. You're not going anywhere. How can he lead you somewhere? It's much easier to steer a moving car than a parked car. Right? And so too many of us have parked. It's time to get back into drive, to get some holy ambition, and to say, God, open doors for me to bring somebody to Jesus. And if I fail, if I drop the ball, I'll just get back up and try again. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to have this holy ambition because we are going to go through this open door of bringing the love of Jesus to people. And everyone agreed with me said, amen. Actually, I just pray this right now. If you want a greater holy ambition in your heart and a greater love for people, just raise your hand right now. Father, I'm raising my hand because I want to have more of your love for people. And I thank you for every hand that's raised. Holy Spirit, do a work in our hearts that we will love people the way you love people. And that love will move us to action in the name of Jesus. All right, the third and final open door. So we've talked about the open door of going higher in our walk with Jesus. We talked about the open door to love people with the love of Jesus. And last but not least, I leave the open door, and this is one of the things I feel like this year and this decade especially needs to be marked by. But it's an open door for healing, signs, and wonders. Let's go back where we were in Matthew chapter 9, right? And we right at the start there, it said, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction." When we look at the ministry of Jesus throughout the scriptures, guys, it was teaching, it was preaching, and it was healing and miracles, signs, and wonders. If we are Christ's followers, we are called to walk in the same dynamic. Yes, teaching. Yes, preaching, but also healing, signs, and wonders, the supernatural, and God showing up. And for too long, in too many places, we have missed this entire part of things. Now, here at our church, I'm thankful. I believe we have a good, solid theology regarding healing and miracles and things God wants to do. I also believe that we at times pray, and we believe God for this. I believe, though, that there is an open door for us to go so much further into what God has for us. And guys, I believe with all my heart, it's not just optional, but it's absolutely necessary for us to go through these doors. Romans 15:19 says this, the Apostle Paul said it, "By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Lycrum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Another translation says, "I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Paul said, "I've not fully preached the good news of Jesus until there's power and there's signs and wonders and healings that are happening." We see it in the life of Jesus. We see it throughout the New Testament. And I believe that God is calling us to press into this in a new way as a church family. I believe that God is calling all of us to go. And I want to encourage you today. It is not meant to become the Pastor Brendan or the Pastor Sharon show. It's not meant to be where the ones who are going to pray and things will happen and everyone else comes and watches us. No, we're believing for a revolution where the saints of Jesus Christ, where everyday Christians are seeing God's power show up. Guys, it is happening all around the world right now. In many areas of the world, this is a normal thing for Christians. We talk to our friends in India, for example, and I know Pastor Sharon has been there several times. The supernatural is a normal part of their everyday life. It's not a utopia. It's not perfect, but they look at you and say, how can you try and do Christianity without the power of God? You go into other nations and other areas of the world where God is moving. We've got to press into this area. And I don't stand here as someone who has all the answers. I don't stand here as someone who has like this special anointing for it. I just stand here as a brother in Christ, as part of this church family. Yes, I happen to be the pastor, but just saying, guys, we got to go for this in a new way. We got to go. It's interesting. You know, you can argue opinions back and forth with people till you're blue in the face. But when God's power shows up, it changes the conversation. Right? I believe this. Well, I believe this. Well, I believe this. Well, I believe that. Okay, let me pray for you right now. You're sick? Oh, you're healed. It totally changes the conversation. Right? People are looking and people are hungry for something real. Our culture right now is hungry for the supernatural. Look at what's on television. Look at what people are being drawn to. They're looking for power. They're looking for something real. And guys, too often, if we're honest, the church has been like a new restaurant that opens up on the street corner. They've got wonderful marketing. They've got a beautiful sign out front. The decor is wonderful. The atmosphere is great. They've got these incredible menus. They invite people to come in and to sit down and to read the menus. And someone says, well, hey, I'd like some healing. We go, oh, well, we don't actually have that. We just talk about what good is a restaurant that doesn't serve any food? And too often, we have advertised, but we've not delivered. Because you know some of the best restaurants are the one that you wouldn't think it looks good from the outside. You know those moms and pop shop, the ones that, you know, but you know when there's a lineup outside, you go, that's real food right there. Right? That's good food right there because they're producing. God wants to show up and show out, but he's looking for people who will, in a united way, say, we're going through the open door. Everyone say, go through the open door. And can I say this, guys? Even further beyond winning arguments, it's about God's compassion for people. He wants to touch them because they're suffering. He wants them to be free. He wants them to be whole. That is his heart. He doesn't just want us to have a nice theology to help us suffer through life. Jesus came, I said, I came so you could be free. Doesn't mean there's never challenges or battles. You know, that stuff still happens. But you win instead of just losing and getting beat up all the time. And so we need to press into this. And so one of the things we're going to do practically, we're going to kind of flesh it as we go. But for the foreseeable future, we're going to take one Sunday a month, whatever the sermon series, whatever's going on, we're taking one Sunday a month, and we are going to make it a healing, pursuing God for power service. And so we're going to come together, we're going to teach on it, we're going to activate, we're going to pray for it, we're going to believe God. And I'm not saying we're going to even see all this stuff right off the start. I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is we're going to go through that open door and leave everything up to God. Amen? So our first one is going to be next week. So we've got an opportunity to go after the supernatural, and then we have an opportunity through first fruits to sow into where God is taking us. Amen? And so I really want to encourage you in that. And so just in closing, guys, if Pastor Sam wants to come back and join me here, God is going to open doors, but will we say yes to go through it together? Will we say yes to say we're going to go there? You guys will remember, many of you, I don't have it referenced for you right now, but Jesus told the parable, the story about two sons. And the father said to his son, he said to the first son, go, work in the vineyard. And the son said, no, I'm not going to go. And so the father said to the second son, go work in the vineyard. The second son said, sure, dad, I'm going to go. The Bible says, though, that the second son who said he'd go and never ended up going. But the first son who said he wouldn't go ended up changing his mind going. Jesus said, well, who did the will of the father? It was the one who not just said yes, but actually went. And God is saying, who will go through the open door? It's one thing to be in services and to be in like Friday night's gathering was amazing. I've not felt the presence of God like that for a long time. That's awesome. I'm thankful for it. But I don't just want to be someone who says yes but never actually goes. I want to be someone who goes through these open doors. I want to be someone who walks through these open doors. But I don't just want to go by myself. I want to go as a church. I want to go as a family. If I'm understanding something more and more, it is not just about the individual. I can come and the anointing that's on my life, what I've cultivated with God, I can come and I can make an impact. But what is 1,000 times stronger is instead of me trying to put the whole thing on my back and go, it's when all of us bring what God's brought in us together and we go there together. Will we go through the open doors? And so just in a close here today, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. It is time for each one of us to go higher in the things of God. It is time for each one of us, whatever level you are currently at, there is a call from the Holy Spirit to go higher. There's a call from the Holy Spirit to come up here now, because I want to show you. And let's not just make it an emotional experience when I'm preaching a service and Justin is about to hop on the keys, but it's an answer to the call on a weekday morning when you don't feel like getting out of bed. It's an answer to a call when life is kind of crazy and different things are happening. You're like, God, I'm still going higher. It's an answer to go to the call even when I don't feel anything, nothing feels like it's happening, but I've made a commitment in my heart to say yes to God no matter what. Will we be those who go higher? This whole year, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you every day, every week, will we lean in to go higher? We need every person in this church family to step up to a new level. It can't be just enough for me to go, guys. Now, I'll let you know something. I'm going to go. I'll go if nobody else goes. I'm still going. But you know what I know in this place? I know there's a whole bunch of people that are going to go too. I know there's a whole bunch, but will we go there together? We need every person to step up. Guys, for example, like connections, I want to encourage you. Cruise ship Christianity, again, says about me. Well, it's inconvenient. It's this, it's that. See, when you get into a rescue ship mindset, you understand if we're going to pull people out of the water, we need lifeboats for those people to be put into. We need lifeboats, and me going to a connection is not just about what I'm getting out of it. It becomes, no way, I'm part of forming a community here where people that come to Christ can come in and be built up, prayed for, encouraged, challenged, where we're creating family, we're creating circles. But see, the question no longer becomes what's comfortable for me, what's easy for me, what works well for me. It's becoming, God, what are you asking me to do? How can I get involved in what you're doing? I want to challenge you in serving. Guys, I just felt my heart. I was going to be really strong on this today. We need everybody to be involved. There's too many people who come Sunday after Sunday and don't do anything. And I'm not trying to preach like a works, like, oh, you have to. But I hope you hear my heart in challenging you. We got to go higher. Everyone needs to be involved. If we're going to reach more people, there's got to be people ready to serve them when they come. And will you take a step and say, okay, like, I'm thankful when I'm receiving, but how can I give? How can I help? How can I be involved in what God is doing? Another great opportunity is going to be next week when we have this first fruits offering. Again, will we seek God and say, God, I want to sow into this rescue ship church mentality. I want to sow into where you're taking us. I want to sow and I want to go through the open doors. Will we be people who say, yes, we're going to go? It's interesting. The Bible says, if you remember that verse, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. And at first glance, that verse seems a little confusing because it's like, well, it seems like God's the one who chose, right? So it's like, many are called, but few are chosen. But I remember I was reading an interesting translation. And actually, if you study more of the foundation of that verse and what it's talking about, and if you look at the context it's within, it had nothing to do with God choosing or not. There's one translation that says, many are called, but few respond and say yes in excellence. In other words, you can choose to be chosen. You can choose to be chosen. You can say, okay, God, I hear your call, but I'm not just going to hear the call, I'm going to say yes. I'm not just going to hear the call, but I'm going to go. I'm not just going to hear the call, but I'm going to move forward in what you are doing. Will we be people who say yes? My prayer is that we will. My prayer is that I will. My prayer is that you will. Even coming out of this amazing time we've had together, will we be people who say yes? Yes to Jesus. Yes to whatever he's asking us to do. Yes to purpose, destiny, and calling. Yes to holy ambition. Yes to radical generosity. Yes to the discipline of spiritual community. Yes to reaching out to people as God opens the door with the love of Jesus Christ. Yes to sacrifice. Yes to prayer. Yes to fasting. Yes to obedience. Will we be people who say yes? Or will we be people who say no and just play a religious game? Please be those who say yes. I want to be someone who says yes. Let's all be people who say yes. And let's encourage one another to this, right? Let's be that family that if someone falls behind, we don't go, okay, fine with them. No, we go back. We get them. We bring them forward. We pray for one another. We say, yes, we're going to be a community. We're going to be a family where we're believing for everyone to say yes. And so this is the note I felt like we needed to end this time of prayer and fasting together on. There's many other open doors. God's going to open them. But who will say yes to walk through them? And so, Father, I just come before you in the name of Jesus as we bring this to a close.